The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
French President Emmanuel Macron is on the third of his 3-day visit to the UK. So if at all the pomp and pageantry of Windsor Castle, the royal family and so on, and today it culminates in a summit between him and Keir Starmer. And we're now joined by London correspondent of the Irish Times, Mark Paul, to prize out some of the details in relation to this. Welcome to the programme, Mark. If we could talk about the boats, first of all, and migration. So I'm looking at 843 people a week are crossing the channel from the continent, and 43,842 so far have arrived in the last year under the Labour government. What is starting to emerge in terms of this one-in, one-out deal?
Yes, Ivan. So effectively, from the British side, getting some sort of a returns deal with France that would allow to send back some of the migrants that arrive in small boats back across the English Channel to France. I mean, this is a political imperative for Keir Starmer. It may be absolutely essential for his own political survival eventually to address this problem. I mean, you went through some of the numbers there, on an average of almost 850 per week, well over 100 per day. So in terms of a one-out, one-in deal, what it would actually entail is that they're going to announce some sort of a pilot scheme starting later this year where asylum seekers who don't have any connections to Britain generally will be single males would be sent back to France. But Britain would also have to accept in some asylum seekers who are in France who have family connections in Britain, who may already have children there or wives there or husbands there or whatever the case may be. So there won't be any net reduction in the number of asylum seekers on British soil as a result of this. But I think what it does give Keir Starmer is something that he can wave in the air and call a deterrent, because, of course, one of his first acts when he became Prime Minister in July of last year was he completely scrapped the Rwanda scheme that the previous government under Rishi Sunak had set up. And ever since then, it's been used as a rod to beat him across his back to say that he scrapped the only deterrent that Britain had to prevent these arrivals. I mean, the numbers are at record levels now. I mean, we're on the cusp of our third heat wave of the summer here in London. And anytime there's a heat wave, the numbers spike because the seas are calm and so on. So this is vitally important for Keir Starmer, not just for managing the issue of migration, but politically to keep Nigel Farage and Reform UK off his back.
Now, this is of direct relevance to us because we have a common travel area. And of course, the North has migrant issues as well. So do you think this will actually work, or is it a kind of bit of a fig leaf to get him through this week?
I think it's a little bit of a fig leaf to get them through until they can negotiate something better. The French have reservations about this, and what the French officials have been briefing British media all week is that, look, it's all very well getting some sort of a one-in, one-out deal, but the big problem is that Britain has too many pull factors, and that makes it an attractive destination for migrants. The French give out about the fact that it's very, very easy for migrant workers or for illegal migrants and possibly asylum seekers who shouldn't be working to actually gain work in the black market in Britain. It's much more difficult on the continent, apparently, to do this. In Britain, it's easier. I mean, there was a very unusual situation a couple of weeks ago where Chris Philp, who is the shadow Home Secretary, the Tory, a member of the Tory party, he went to an asylum hotel and he found loads and loads and loads of Deliveroo and Just Eat bikes parked outside because it was apparent that there was a lot of asylum seekers who were working on the black market and delivering food all over London. And one of the reasons for that is because although you have to show a right to work to be an employee in Britain, you don't have to show a right to work if you're self-employed. So, of course, in the gig economy, where a lot of people are self-employed, you find a lot of people, illegal migrants, they move into that sector, they work in that sector because they don't have to show any papers. And Macron is basically saying, look, get your house in order in this. If you weren't so attractive a destination for asylum seekers, they wouldn't be crossing all the way across Europe to get to you. Another problem that the French have with all of this is that they have a perception that the British welfare system is too generous to asylum seekers. So this all culminates in this sense from the French that, okay, look, we'll give you a trial on this one-in, one-out deal, which we expect to be announced later today, but to give something more, to give more than a trial, to take more numbers, bigger numbers, I think the French would want to see the British cracking down on the black market, and I would expect to see strong language in the summit statement today from Keir Starmer about how they're going to clamp down on illegal workers.
Now, other topics, there has been a number of sort of summits, both in London and in Paris, to deal with Putin and EU security, all in the context of a more isolationist Trump US sort of doing less in NATO.
That's right.
What are you expecting to be announced on the sort of joint security? Because, you know, in a post-Brexit world, this can't be done through EU structures. And while the EU is a common kind of security pact for 800 billion between now and 2035, where does Britain fit into it?
Well, Britain and France are nuclear powers, and they are nuclear powers in NATO. And NATO's security umbrella obviously depends on the US's and America's nuclear power. But of course, you know, that's much more not as reliable as it was now under Donald Trump, and politically. So what's being announced is effectively a joint nuclear deterrent. They're effectively pooling the resources from a nuclear point of view. I mean, obviously, each sovereign nation, Britain and France, will retain control over their own nuclear deterrence, but operationally, they're going to bring them together to some degree. All of Britain's nuclear weapons are sea-based. There is constantly 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, there is a Trident submarine somewhere in the world, circling the world, that has an armed nuclear weapon on board. France has sea-based nuclear missiles, but it also has, crucially, air-based. They can be fired from jet aircraft. Britain doesn't have that. It has said it's going to build that out. It's going to buy the aircraft to do that. So what they're going to do is effectively develop missiles together. They're going to engage in research and development together. And if there is some sort of an existential threat to Europe, they will work together and fire their nuclear missiles together if need be. And so it's effectively an agreement to be partners, a kind of a mini Article 5, I guess, between the UK and France to work together from a nuclear point of view to any big threats to come into Europe and to those two nations.
That is potentially, in terms of the protection and defence of Europe, really, really important. In terms of, people tell me that the only thing Putin understands is a deterrent vis-a-vis Poland, Moldova and other imperialist ambitions. That if he sees, and you know, the Russian economy is quite small retrospectively in comparison. And then there's the issue of, I suppose, Europe is looking to Germany, really, to pick up the tab for EU security. So this would be separate to the EU, because France has always been criticised that it's done a bit of a solo run in relation to security.
That's right, and it's always done a real solo run in relation to its nuclear deterrent. I mean, France talks very little about its nuclear deterrent. It's probably worth pointing out that Britain and France, neither country has a lot of nuclear warheads. They've got less than 300 each, and I think Russia has more than 6,000. But crucially, they have nuclear deterrents in Europe that aren't reliant on the US, and that you don't need the OK necessarily from Donald Trump to fire if it came to it. It's interesting as well that the British are moving towards putting nukes in the air, so to speak, on planes, because of course in this agreement that exists but nobody ever admits exists, British planes also patrol Irish skies. The RAF patrols Irish skies. I mean, when Russian submarines or Russian Tupolev aircraft come into Irish airspace, aircraft are scrambled, fighter jets, Typhoons are scrambled from Lossiemouth in Scotland to cover Irish airspace. I mean, this is something that the Irish government doesn't admit to, but every man and his dog in Britain knows is the case. So the fact that Britain, in conjunction with France, but also from their own point of view, are moving to put nuclear weapons in the air on aircraft is something as well that I think is relevant for Ireland.
Yeah, makes an Ireland safer place, perhaps, and less likely on our western flank to be attacked. Very comprehensive analysis there. My thanks to Mark Paul, London correspondent of the Irish Times. And I'm just looking at Sky News there. All the action at Downing Street. Expect on your news is this evening and across News Talk. Lots of developments in relation to that Anglo-French summit. Thank you indeed, Mark.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.